1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 1. It seems like I'm looking for a few things to bring to our attention tonight. I thought that this might be one that we might think upon. It concerns actually the last day or the latter times. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And this, many years ago, was given by Paul to the Thessalonian people, and it is written for our information that we might have it today, because as we read more of it, which I will shortly do, it would show that it really pertains to the day in which we live and the day that is perhaps shortly ahead of us. But before I read further here, I would like to bring a little bit of a rather familiar passage of Scripture from the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. In this particular one, it's found in verses 3 through 8. We find the apostles or disciples of Jesus Christ coming to him privately and wanting to know certain things, among which were a question in their mind concerning the sign of the second coming of Christ and of the end of the world. And of course, as oftentimes the case was, he answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And this is one passage I want to pause a moment upon and think upon, because in the world in which we live, there is a great deal of deception. Numerous ways this deception is taking place. It could even be taking place by false prophets and such like. It can be taken place by communism. There are many things that can be a method of deceiving people. But Christ said to take heed that no man deceive you. And then he further said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." And how true that is. There are many today that say that Jesus is the Christ, who say that he is Christ and purport to have his gospel. So it's important in all of this that we carefully analyze what is said by various individuals who purport to be ministers of God. For we are told, I believe in 1 John 4:1, to try the spirits, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. And that is your duty. It is my duty to do this. And the thing is, in all this, it tells of those who would claim to be of Christ, who would teach that Christ is the Christ, but in all this it said they would deceive many. And so really this bears our careful consideration. It bears our thought how important it is that we each search these scriptures so we might know the spirits whereby we are led. For really the scriptures are our measuring rod for all these things. And it is important that we avail ourselves of them. And reading a little further down in this same scripture, it says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." This is speaking of the time that would precede the end of the world. "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." But note this, it says, "But the end is not yet." It meant that these things would precede the time of the end. And then he went on to say, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Actually, these things might paint a rather dismal picture in a way, and yet all this is given for our information. And Jesus Christ said they're the beginning of sorrows. Not too long ago, in our news items, was an earthquake that took place in, I believe it was Guatemala, and in which, according to the last report I heard, I believe there was over 22,000 died, and it may have reached greater proportions than that, and several hundred thousands lost their homes. This is a thing it's hard to fathom or for us to even conceive of. Because all of those people, they were poor people to start with, the possessions they have were gone. And you can imagine, perhaps, and apply it to our own selves, and I doubt that very few here have earthquake insurance, maybe none. But if it devastated the places you live and you no longer had a place to live in, it would be pretty close to you then, would it not? The same as it was to those people. I know in one area we was in, we thought it well to, in one of our prayer services, to specially remember these people, and I'm sure you likewise done the same, because we should be concerned about people who have these grievous happenings happening to them. We never know when it might happen in the United States of America. It did happen last year, but as fortunate had it, there was no deaths. But it wouldn't take very much more of a serious nature earthquake and what they might have thousands die within it. And these are some of the things that are prophesied of our day. It tells us that there would not only be earthquakes in diverse places, it talks about famines and pestilences. And we now are reading in our news as well, or on radio, television, and such like, what is happening in our Great Plains area, from Texas to the Dakotas. It almost is a great drought, and it might even get of greater proportions. Now, we don't know the far reaching of it yet, and maybe it might not even be complete this year. We never know what all will transpire. Well, I travel in the state of California, and since then this has changed, but they had the driest time in certain areas that they'd had in their history of, at least their known history of that state. And the cattle industry, and more appropriately, or especially rather, the dairy industry had suffered at that time $325 million approximately in losses, which is a sizable loss. And this wasn't the total complete picture of it. And perhaps even the moisture they have received now hasn't completely solved all their needs. It is important that we are aware of all these happenings, because there is promise of famines upon the face of this earth. We never know when it might be right in our own land. And yet, in the book of Psalms, the 37th Psalm, it tells us that we could be supported in time of famine, that we could be fed in time of famine. There was a verse there, I believe it goes like this, I have been young and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I believe this. For within that psalm and many other scriptures with it, there is much hope and strength for our day. Courage indeed is important that we have. And we need to be a people of such nature, and I believe that is one of our duties, that we might be able to lift others. For we live in a day of trial, we live in a day of problems upon the face of our earth, upon the face of our nation, and right in our own city and in the area in which we live. We have these various problems that are affecting mankind, and many of them are very distressing. And as a people of the Church of Christ, we have a special duty. We should get our lives close enough to the Lord and put our trust sufficiently in Him that we might be able to lift other people. We might be able to reach out if within us they could see something special that they would like to have. I would like to turn back now to this passage in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And I'd like to reread verse 1 again and then read on down through about verse 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And we know how a thief in the night would come. It would be when you would least expect it. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Now, he is speaking to those brethren, and I think this comes right on down today, that day should overtake you as a thief. If we avail ourselves of these scriptures, which are before us, if we study them, this day need not come upon us as a thief, really. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. And why were they the children of light and the children of the day? Because they availed themselves of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his doctrine. And that is a solid rock to which we can anchor our soul to in time of stress or need, or in any time, as a matter of fact. Paul further said here, we are not of the night nor of darkness. And the reason they weren't of night nor of darkness is again because they followed the commandments of Jesus Christ. And likewise you, if you follow these commandments, you will not be of the night or darkness, but you will be of the day and of light. I would like to read a passage of scripture from Moroni 7, and this is found in the 18th verse, which goes along with this. Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ. There is number one method of being able to do certain things, and that is to search diligently in the light of Christ. Why? That ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, certainly ye certainly will be a child of Christ. Now this indicates here by the writer of old that if we do these things, we certainly would be a child of Christ. And the first thing is to search diligently, and you must do it in the light of Christ. For we already brought out that there would be many coming saying that I am Christ. And also, and I might not have read all that, I don't recall, they would deceive many. And this is the thing that's rather frightening, that those who purport to be ministers of Christ, there are some that could deceive many if they were not those who had this authority, if they were not founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here he said to search diligently in the light of Christ, that you may know good from evil. So if we want to really know this good from evil, this is the way to do it. And then if you lay hold upon every good thing, and this is the thing we should search for diligently, is the good things in life, and condemn it not, then you would be a child of Christ. Concerning this darkness and light, there is another related reference in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that I would like to turn to and read at this time. And this is found in 8 through 11. And Paul said this to those Ephesian people, for ye were sometimes in darkness, at one time in their life, because of the deeds they pursued, the type of life they lived, they were in darkness. As a matter of fact, a number of these people were idol worshippers as well. But now he said this to them, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And the reason they were light in the Lord, because they had accepted Jesus Christ into their lives. And then he says, walk as children of light. That's the way they were to walk. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so this fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. And I would like to, before reading that rest of this passage here, to dwell a little bit upon the fruits of the Spirit, because he mentions them here. And I believe these are things that are important to be in our lives. You can find them mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And these fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to bring them out at this time, love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. There are nine of these spiritual gifts. But before I pass over them, I want to back up and show the importance of them in our lives. By your fruits, others know what you are. They know the type of individual that you are. By what we do, God knows what we are. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, number one here mentioned, was love. And we know time and time again in the Scriptures, the importance of love is stressed. It oftentimes is called charity. And Moroni says this is the pure love of Christ. And then we have another fruit of the Spirit is joy. And I believe that's right here today, that happiness can be yours and mine. There is promise of a great joy in a future life. Even we can read a part of it in the vision that Lehi and Nephi saw when they pressed forward and partook of the fruit of the tree of life, which is a representation of the love of God. And this fruit was white above all white, and it made people happy above all happy to partake of the love of God. It can make you very happy, and this ties in with this love and this joy that can be yours. And then it mentions peace here. Each person can have an inner peace in his being. You should be able to walk peacefully with your fellow beings. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, these things are things that should show forth in the lives of the true believers of Jesus Christ. Long-suffering is another fruit of the Spirit. It goes right along with patience, hand in hand. We may have to endure trials. We may have to endure persecution. It is said that it would be, but nonetheless, a fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Gentleness. Gentleness is something that should be a part of each one of our makeup. And I believe that this is almost contrary to the normal behavior of many peoples of our world. And yet we are told that a fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, that we should be a gentle people. And we should have goodness in our life, and we faith. We never can underestimate the importance of faith. It is also one of the spiritual gifts, and of course, again, in Moroni, it calls exceeding great faith, is what a spiritual gift actually is. And yet it is a fruit of the Spirit that can be any one of ours to enjoy, and it should be a part of every one of our life. And you've heard me quote this before, and I'll quote it again from Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And meekness. Meek, we've been commanded to be meek by Jesus Christ. He says, come learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he is the one that we're to follow. And then we find temperance. And I believe this is one of the great traits that any of us could have, is temperance. The things we pursue, the things we eat, the things we drink, the things that we might follow as pleasure, there's perhaps no end to the importance of temperance in our life. Many things are pursued intemperately, and as a result, we suffer loss. I would like to go back again and read a little further from Ephesians 5, and it's 10 and 11. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is a part of our searching the Scriptures diligently in the light of Jesus Christ. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now that is a plain out-and-out commandment, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And we are told if we walk in the light, we would not have darkness in us. I would like at this time to turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and actually I'll bring in the first five verses before I complete this reading. Now this takes in a time called the last days. And I want us to note this first verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We read earlier from Matthew 24 in the first verses 3 through 8 concerning some rather grievous happenings that would happen in our day. More of catastrophes maybe to our environment, maybe in the way of hunger to our bodies and things of this nature, or even of deception, which is over the face and breadth of our earth. But here Paul, or Timothy, I guess he's writing to Paul, I guess I'm kind of reading a lot about Paul tonight for some reason, I didn't even realize it. But anyway, Paul, in talking to Timothy, said this, that in the last days there would be perilous times that shall come. And then he elaborates on some of these perils of those last days. And I want you to notice as I read them how they're actually unfolding before our eyes. There's some different train of thought. Some feel that we might be living in the final end of the latter days. And this could be true, which would mean the ushering in shortly of the last days. And yet they might be overlapping, or we might be even entering the last days. And I'm not going to try to say we're in a certain place, but these scriptures that I read now certainly fit our day without a shadow of a doubt. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is the number one thing. It would be a peril, note you, of the last days, because men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, and how true this is, desiring of what others have, boasters, proud. And if we would note many in our nation today and in our world, of the boasting and the prideful things that go on among entertainment, among those that are adapted at certain types of sports, or maybe even able to do various types of jobs well, or any different talents, quite often boasting enters in. It is not wrong to do a job well, but in all this, we got to realize the reason we're able to do that job well is because God has made us able for us to do it. We are dependent upon Him for everything we do. Certain things may have been created in us, for sure. We have certain capacities and capabilities. Many of us would never be great as runners, but some are. But because one is, does not mean that he has to boast or to be proud of what he has done. And maybe you have read or saw on television some of the recent Olympics, and some people there very much displayed a proud nature because of the way they were able to perform in the Olympics. And this isn't just a scattered individual case, because this is happening among many similar type events and other events that might not even be related to sports. There would be those, there would be blasphemers. This would be a peril of the last day. There would be those who would be disobedient to parents. And if we would turn over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in the first 3 verses, we would find there a statement concerning children. And maybe I ought to just turn to that one and bring it out. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what is this promise? That it may be well with thee. It really is worth it then, is it not? And that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now that is a commandment with promise. And it says it is the first one. And yet it tells us of a day wherein there would be disobedience to parents. Unthankful and unholy. We are told time and times again, there are scriptures that tell us to be a holy people. There are scriptures also that stress many times the importance of being a thankful people. And one of these I would like to read now from Alma 16, 238 verse. And this shows of the importance of being thankful. Now, at this particular instance, there were a people who were spoken to who had been cast out of their places of worship, had been admonished by both Alma and Amulek, had been admonished on the importance of
of humbling themselves and of continuing in prayer, and among a number of other things that they were admonished in. And then in verse 238, they were further admonished along this line, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily. And yet it says one of the perils of the last days would be unthankful. And yet the scripture plainly says to live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. There's a lot contained there in just one verse. Because if we follow him, he rewards no good thing. And yet, didn't I just bring out in faith, those that have faith, that you believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and he has promised a reward of life with him in eternity if we follow his commandments. And we're to pray continually, and we're to live in thanksgiving daily. Going back to the reading in Timothy again, another one of the perils of the last days, it says, is without natural affection, indicating that many people would no longer have the natural affection that they once had. And we find in Matthew 24:12, it mentions, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, indicating because of iniquity and its abundance of it, that the love of many will wax cold. And how true that is. The love that once existed in families is not really there today. I mean, as it should be. There are many families, true, that have love one for another. But there's many that do not. It goes along, perhaps, with disobedience to parents. It might go along with parents not dealing justly with their children. It's no one-sided proposition. And there is others that don't have love for our nation. They don't have love for government. They're opposed about everything. Truth breakers is another peril of the last days. And false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And there would be traitors as well. These are things that we want to note taking place. Petty, which is violent. And violence is a thing, it seems like, is a part of our day. If we go back to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter and 11th verse, we would find that the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence in that day. Now, because of those conditions that existed then, corruption and violence upon the face of the earth, and if you read up on further in that same passage of Scripture, the thoughts of man's heart were evil continually. Instead of being thankful continually, their hearts become evil. And we know that there was 8 souls, and those that entered the ark were saved from a death by water. God decreed that he would destroy the living upon the face of the earth because of the corruption that was on the earth and because of the violence. Now, this is something that should give us some concern, because in Matthew 24:37, and I won't turn to it, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And the Son of Man would be Jesus Christ. The things that happened in the days of Noah will have a similar happening in our days. And how true it is, we're living in a day of great violence upon the face of our earth, nation. Remember, this happened to come to me since we were discussing the Olympics a little earlier, at the last Olympics, where there were certain terrorists that blew up certain buildings, and some were killed throughout that time. I believe it was just this year we had a bomb placed in one of the airport terminals that did considerable damage. There was a bomb placed over in California in some of the Hertz I believe it was, what was that, a, anyway, it was some type of a display or a museum, I guess it was, and it had some damage done to it. And we never really know what might take place next. An arson, another form of violence on the face of our land, and perhaps some of you have read in the recent Reader's Digest concerning an article in relation to what took place in Denver and the number of fires that happened over the past few years, and how the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, after carefully and very diligently pursuing it, were able to arrive at least some arrest. And this was traced to certain union leaders and such as this, because the buildings that were destroyed each time were built by non-union members. And this is something that should concern us too. And this just isn't in Colorado alone. It's happening in other states in our nation. However, Denver happened to be one of the prime ones they chose to pull a lot of these things within. But it is a form of violence, and it said that they would be heedy, and the meaning of heedy is violent. There would be those who would be high-minded and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says, from such, turn away. This lovers of pleasure is something that should make us stop and think concerning our nation today. We know that ancient Rome fell because of immorality and because of their great love for pleasure. And this nation of which we hold dear to our hearts is fastly falling in the same footsteps of ancient Rome. And it looks like that we could realize that not only is there scriptures that tells us things are wrong, but we can see that history has happenings in it that we could well benefit of if we would avail ourselves of it. I would like to turn to Luke, the 12th chapter, because I believe this ties a bit with this lovers of pleasure, even though it's only a parable. And yet it has its place. It's the parable of a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. And as we know, as we go into this, part of his desires centered around pleasure. And so this certain rich man, after he had gained all these marvelous things, should have well been thankful to God and imparted of his substance. But he thought within himself, what shall I do with all these goods that I have? He says, I have no place to bestow further ones. So he thought within himself, I'll pull down my barn, and I will build greater barns, and there will I bestow all my goods. And then he said, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And this merry is part of the pleasures that Paul said to not be a partaker of. The reason I wanted to read this is because a part of it here is applicable for anyone who reads this passage. But God had something to say to this individual, even though he was what we would call financially secure in our language of our day, but because of his goal and his desires and his improper use of the things that God had gave him ability to get, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Who are they going to be then? And this is the way it is with any. We really don't know how long we might be here. So what we lay up today better count for tomorrow. So is he, those that would do the same thing this rich man is, so is he that layeth up treasure to himself, or for himself, and is not rich toward God. So any who actually lays up treasure to themselves and are not rich toward God, then it applies to them as well. So we should lay up our riches where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves may not break through and steal. And there's one other here that I would like to turn to as well. It's found in Luke, the 8th chapter. And I'm only going to bring out verses 14 and 15. Now this is the parable of the sower. And normally I use Matthew 13 because I kind of like the way it's worded better. But for a reason tonight, I've chosen this one, a part of it. Now, this particular parable, we remember, a sower went forth to sow. Some seed fell by the wayside. Some fell upon the rocky soil. Some fell among the thorns, and some fell on good soil. And this that fell on the good soil, some yielded 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. We can read this in the 13th chapter of Matthew. But I only want to be concerned about the one on the thorns, because this added one that the 13th chapter of Matthew didn't. Let's read. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, now notice this, these heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says here, which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches. Now, this is the cares of this world, as worded over in the 13th chapter of Matthew. But it adds this one, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now in this, it would indicate that the pleasures of this life is one of the things that could cause one to not bring forth that fruit to perfection. And that's why I said here, it mentioned here, that there would be those, one of the perils of our day is those who would love pleasure more than lovers of God. And even this day, you could probably have found many people pursuing many things of a pleasurable nature instead of even going to church or any of this. And it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I would like to turn over to 2 Peter. And this is found in the 3rd chapter, and verses 3 and 4, and then I'll read a little more. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And I've even heard those that said this, why, things are just the same as they've ever been. But really, they aren't the same as they've ever been if we'll just open our eyes. Because many of the things that Christ foretold of our day and the prophets of old foretold of our day are being fulfilled before our eyes. Now I would like to read on over from verses 10 through 13 in this same reading. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons ought ye to be? I'll let you each answer that yourself. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now this is quite a happening, is it not? We're even told over in Matthew 21, I'm not Matthew, but Revelation 21, the first four verses, that there would be a new heaven and a new earth. It also mentioned that all the former things would have passed away. All the death, the sorrow, all these things would pass away. But notice this, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, and the scripture has these promises in them, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So there is the hope of the Christian people. There is the hope of those who apply the gospel of Jesus Christ to their life. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I would like to turn back again now to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and read verses 6 through 8. Now there is that promise of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, let us not sleep, this is important, as do others, But let us watch and be sober, and being sober is being alert. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, who claim to be of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. We've already spoke somewhat about this faith. And love. We've spoke somewhat about that. But put on this breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Isn't that the reason we're here? To work out our salvation before God? This life is no accident. There was a purpose for it. This day was given unto us to prepare for another life. And if we use this day wisely, we can be there in eternity with God and Jesus Christ. I would like to turn to one final passage of Scripture from Mosiah, the 2nd chapter, in verses 9 through 11. I say unto you, if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, this atonement of Jesus Christ was prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord. And this is important, is it not? That this salvation might come to him that put their trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments. And I read another passage of Scripture here, said that we will search diligently in the light of Jesus Christ, that we might know good and evil, or from evil, how it was worded, and continue in the faith even unto the end of this life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is a man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever was, ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or who ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is a means whereby salvation cometh. And so I have tried this evening to bring out some thoughts on not only the last days, but some important things that might show us a way of gaining this salvation. Because there is a promise of Christ's return to this earth. There is a promise of a rich, full life in eternity with him. For he said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly.